Well, thank you for joining me. Let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. Thank you for dialing in. I know if you're on hold, sometimes it's hard to get on the air. Sometimes it's hard to get through to our number. If you ever want to try, here's the way to connect to me. It's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. You can always, hit Maggie up. She is on all of our social media platforms. If you are streaming us on YouTube or on Facebook, leave us your comments there or send her a post on our X account, and that's at Drew Mariani Show, and we'll pray for you. We'd love to certainly do that. Prayers again today, as I have been praying every day for Father Richard Simon. Let's pray for his recovery. Let's ask that God will be merciful to him and restore him to full health. So I want to lift that up. I want to pray for this person who wrote to us. Could you pray for my daughter? She's 22 years old and taking testosterone. She's going to change her name from Marie to Matthew. Drew, I'm so distraught about this. As her parents, this is a nightmare. She's very confused. She is lost and no longer believes in God. She won't even answer our phone call since we're not calling her by the name she prefers. She needs major healing and an awakening. Would you please pray and ask everyone who prays the chapel to Divine Mercy to pray with you? I promise you my prayers. 22 years of age, I mean, what a dagger in the heart of a loving parent. It's so hard. And I know you are standing for what is right, calling her by her baptismal name, not giving into this dysphoria that she has. And listen, we'll pray for God's healing. Like God raised from the dead, right? He walked on water. He multiplied food. He took away leprosy, restored sight. He can heal your daughter. And I believe that. I believe God is just as active today. We have to do our part. Two little things. We have to have our faith. We've got to exercise trust. We have to put those two things into place. And God will never fail you. Trust me. He'll never fail you. I'm praying today with Maggie. Maggie's with us here, plugging along. And how many weeks away are you now?
9 weeks.
9 weeks, man. It's going to be here before you know it. We've been here for the whole journey. How are you feeling? Good?
I've been feeling good lately. You saw yesterday I had to put my feet up here behind the board.
Send a note over on the screen. Please excuse.
I was like, I'm sorry. I've got swollen feet right now. But
that's so funny.
Otherwise, things are going really good.
Good. Any other intention? We have to pray for any of our colleagues? I know that stuff comes in a lot.
Yes. You know, we do. We want to keep praying for our friend Cindy Gonzalez. Yeah. She had been on pilgrimage with you. She says, tomorrow my grandson, Baby Burns, has an appointment with a pediatric cardiologist. We're praying for complete healing. This is uncharted territory for my family. Jesus, I trust in you.
Oh, boy. Cindy, we're praying for you, okay, and for your family.
And this one came in from a colleague, but we're keeping this anonymous, but it really needs prayer. This intention says, a man's marriage is in very bad shape. The man's wife has taken their kids to her country of origin. He needs a miracle to save his marriage and reunite him with his children. So I said, let's lift this up through Our Lady Undoer of Knots.
Yeah, my gosh.
That's a knot.
So hard.
Yeah, so hard.
When I know that situation. And we'll pray. We'll certainly pray. Let's just pray. We'll pray for all these different intentions. There's so many that come in. And, you know, we're praying for you, too. You know, you're part of our family here, too. We care about you. And I love this time of day when we can spend time together and ask God for mercy. You know, and that's what we have to do. One more intention I'll throw out since we're throwing them out. Could you please pray and ask your prayer warriors, this person says, for my son's marriage, there are four children involved, since you were talking about this other situation, ages 4 through 9. There have been a lot of problems. Lost a preemie baby born age 5 now, has lung problems. The youngest, age 4, has extremely rare metabolic disorder. All these kids are dealing with these illnesses. Two of the children are adopted. There's so much stress, much chaos, and now our daughter-in-law wants a divorce. We are all broken. We'll continue to pray and to hope, and we do believe in the mercy of God. Thank you for your prayers, and I'll keep the name anonymous. How devastating. And I think about these intentions all the time. I think about the crosses that people carry. You know, it puts into perspective our own, puts into perspective our, even our prayers. But God is love and he is mercy itself. That's what St. Faustina says. She wrote that his mercy is the astonishment of the angels and the wonder of the saints. So let's pray for these intentions that we gave voice to. And there's just a few of many that come in every day. And we'll pray for you right now. If you're on hold, we'll pray for you. If you're not, if you're joining me somewhere, you're sitting in your car, your hospital bed, your prison cell, we're together, all right? And we'll turn to the mercy of God as we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right. Our first call today comes from Renee. She's in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hey, Renee. I'm sorry, Renee. That's all me. Go right ahead, Renee. Hi.
I said hi. How are you?
I'm well. I didn't fire your call button, so we can hear you now. Good to have you. Thanks.
Well, I have a praise report. My brother was diagnosed with lymphoma back at the beginning of this year, and he lives with me. I'm his caregiver, and he has a disability since birth. And my whole family, we were devastated, and I was just praying for a total cure. I pray with you in the chapel at you and Maggie every day. And this last couple of days, I was just praying because he had a PET scan after only two treatments. He had a PET scan today. And I was praying that, you know, because you always say pray big.
Oh, yeah.
You can't pray, you know, it's pray big. So I did. I said, please just let there be nothing on the PET scan. And the nurse called me and said that there was complete resolution. And I said,
wow.
I go, what? Like, I couldn't even speak. I said, what does that mean? And she said, there is nothing. They saw nothing. And that's exactly what I was praying for, that they would see nothing.
I love it.
Amazing.
I am just so humbled. Yes. Well,
what an affirmation to your own prayer, too. Lord, let them say this. And here they come back. Hey, we see nothing. It's totally gone. Brittany, I don't know whether you've written to me yet. If you haven't, please send me that in an email form. Write that story up. It gives so many people hope. Yeah, it's such an incredible answer to prayer. And your brother's lucky to have such a wonderful sister like you. So we'll pray in Thanksgiving. We'll pray for his continued health and recovery and for you and for all your intentions as well. Okay. Hey, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Great to have you, Renee.
Thank you. I'll send that email. Thank you.
I love it. Can't wait. And anyone who has an answered prayer like that, a miracle moment, a praise report, drew@relevantradio.com. It's Drew, D-R-E-W, at relevantradio.com. And I love what she said. She prayed big. Right, we limit ourselves. And the Lord says that. He's a generous God. Yeah, it disheartens him when we don't ask for much because he desires to give us much, but we don't. Oh, Lord, if it's possible, maybe you could just... I ask for the world. I always ask big, right? I always ask big. Sometimes the Lord surprises me, and I guarantee you he'll do the same thing to you because he's your Father. And he loves you and he's generous. And I stand on his word. Let's pray right now in Thanksgiving for the way God has blessed us. Let's pray in Thanksgiving for the answers that are now in the works and that are in the offing. And let's pray for all those intentions that you have in your heart. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Hey, Siobhan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So my mom is going into an appointment in about exactly an hour. At 2:30, and she's getting an ultrasound, so I just want to pray that the results are good.
Okay. Well, let's lift her up. We'll cover her in prayer. Your timing could not have been more perfect, right? You got through today, and it's hard. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Oh, I have one other prayer, and it's kind of funny, but a 600-pound bear broke into my house.
Wow.
And it kind of did some damage. Turned on the stove, turned on the water, I have to move out and get, a new kitchen. It's not a huge big deal, but I just pray that it goes well as well.
That has to be one of the craziest intentions I've ever had. A 600-pound bear breaking into your home.
That's something. They turned on the stove and the fire department came.
Yeah, I know it's not funny, though.
Out of town.
Not funny when you're in the receiving end of that. Hey, let's pray. God brings good out of every situation. I was having lunch with one of my colleagues today, too, and he and his wife were away, and they had a situation where I think a pipe burst and water came pouring through their ceiling, destroyed their kitchen floor and everything. And, God has ways of working this out. Maybe you'll get reno. I don't know. We'll ask the insurance company to be generous to you. Go ahead, Maggie. Do you want to join us?
We're going to lift this up through Saint Corbinian. he is the patron saint depicted. He is a bishop and he's depicted with a bear carrying his luggage because it ate his mule and he tamed the bear after that.
That's fantastic. All right, let's pray right now. We'll pray for Siobhan. We'll pray in particular for her mother right now. Very important appointment. And Lord, I just ask as divine physician, you come in and you heal. You lay your hands and you heal. Pray for many miracles like the one we heard from Renee today for her mother. I do pray for those who have suffered home incidences or car accidents or other unexpected tragedies or situations that have caused them both angst and financial hardship. And Lord, I just pray that all these situations are resolved for the best, that you bring good out of those situations and you fill those praying right now with many blessings, especially those who are struggling. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Panoma, California, Martha's waiting for us to pray with her. Let's go to Maggie right here with me. Mag, what's coming in?
Bill wrote to us on X. He says, please pray for a financial miracle of $800 for my overdue rent. I need Jesus to step in. Jesus, I trust in you. Nina wrote to us. She said, please pray for Ron. He's being sent to the hospital right now. He has swelling of his optic nerve. Thank you. Jose says, Drew and Maggie, prayers, intentions, please for my wife. She's pregnant. We hope for a safe pregnancy. Prayers for world peace and for our youth. Prayers also for my family and for all of you guys over there at Relevant Radio. And a big cup of prosperity for all.
Amen.
Richard says, prayers for my wife, Sarah, and baby on the way, baby Colette. Sarah is having a hard time dealing with all that's coming with this pregnancy. I pray for peace and joy and comfort for her. Miraculous healing for baby Colette. Jesus, I trust in you. Mike says, hey, Drew, requesting more prayers for Father Gregorio Hidalgo. Hildago. He has stomach cancer. Prayers also for Father Simon. I just love that man. He reminds me of me, he says. He says, blessings to you, Maggie, and your bundle of joy. Michael is a good boy's name, or Michaela for a girl. I love that people keep saying this. And Christine wrote to us. She said, answered prayers. Steve is finally home from the hospital after being in for 7 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
This is the man who had the burns all over his body from the boiling pot of maple syrup.
Horrible story.
She says he still has a long road ahead, but he has made it through the tough part so far. Thank the Lord.
7 weeks.
7 weeks.
I can't imagine trying to recover from a burn.
Third degree burns from a boiling pot of hot maple syrup.
Oh, my Lord, have mercy. This is the thought of it.
I know.
Lord, I ask for your mercy for those who are really suffering, those who are in recovery, for all these intentions that Maggie has brought forward. And we'll include Martha in this third decade. Hi, Martha. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. Today, I lost my dad at 8:30, and I called last week. My uncle is still missing, so I have a lot of things going on right now. And then the happy moment was that my daughter had a baby last Saturday. So that was like a circle of life, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, one comes in and another one leaves.
A little joy in all the suffering. I'm so sorry, though.
Yeah.
You know, I know a daughter and a father have special relationships, and sure, your father loved you very much. I'm sorry.
Yes,
I am for your loss. Mm-hmm. It's tough.
Thank you.
And your uncle's still missing? We're still praying for him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's been a week now that he was from Whittier, and he kept driving to San Bernardino. That was the last time they saw that he took money out. It was almost in the border of Arizona.
Oh, so man. We
don't know exactly if he went through the border, so okay. We haven't heard anything.
Well, let's pray for him right now. Send angels, bring him home. And
thank
Martha,
you,
my condolences and our prayers. You're here with the rest of your spiritual family, so we're praying for your father, who will be interceding for us, and we'll pray for him and all the souls of purgatory. Lord, I ask in the hour of our death that you come not as a just judge, but as a merciful Savior. And I know you're outside of time, and I want to pray for Martha's father, who passed away just hours ago. And I pray in particular for those who mourn, that you will comfort them. I know how moved by compassion your heart was. I think of the story in the gospel of the widow, you know, who lost her only son. And so moved with compassion, the Lord raised that soul from the dead. Lord, in your compassion, in your mercy, I ask you to hear the prayers of all who are praying with me now as we turn to you again. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Ginger is up next. She's in Chicago. Ginger, good afternoon.
Hey. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
I just wanted to say good news. Praise God. My daughter has had three surgeries that they just could not fix what was going on with her. Last Thursday, was just praying and praying and praying with you guys. And I asked a prayer chain through family to pray for on Friday for not just for my daughter, but for the God to be in the doctor's hands to finally make this surgery a success and be able to do what he needs to do. And he was able to.
Wow,
she is finally
God.
on the road to recovery, and I'm just so happy and blessed.
I'm so happy.
And
for
that
you.
Power of the power of prayer really, really does
Amen.
Work, and
Amen.
The chain of prayers work, and,
yes.
and it's such
Amen.
A blessing. And now I just have one more prayer. Unfortunately, my daughter in high school is being bullied. We went to the school yesterday and sat down with other people, and I just want to pray for peace, not for just for my daughter, but for the ones that are bullying her. I mean, obviously, they are going through something to act the way they act,
it's
and
true.
So I just ask God to pray for them, as just as well as for my daughter's mental health, that there can just be peace all around all of them.
Ginger, such a beautiful prayer. And I know the fact you prayed for those who bullied your children, because you're right. There's something going on behind the scenes that causes them to act out that way. But let's pray for your daughter, for insulation and protection for her, and she can be, you know, embraced by our Lord's mercy and protected in a particular way. And I just love your answered prayer. It's so great. The second answered prayer today during this chaplet. And I'll ask you the same thing I asked Renee. If you could just email me your story, we'd love to hear that as well. But let's pray right now in Thanksgiving, right? We'll pray in Thanksgiving for that report you just gave. And Lord, I pray for anyone who's been the victim of abuse and bullying. I pray for those who are the abusers, those who are the bullies. And I just ask for your mercy. I ask you send angels to protect, to guide, and above all, the grace also to convert. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Dyer, Indiana is on deck. Hey, Becky, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is sorry.
No problem.
Yesterday, there was just an absolutely horrific fire in the town next to ours. And the mom and dad are in very critical condition, and the 3-year-old son actually did die. So they need a lot of prayers.
So sad. Well, let's pray. We'll lift that up right now, and let's pray for you, too. I'm sure you have a ton of intentions in your heart. I pray for this fire. I pray for these parents who are in critical condition. I pray for their hearts as they lost their 3-year-old child in that inferno. And Lord, I pray for first responders, fire, police, military, all those who serve, physicians, nurses. I do pray for those who are the victim of tragedy. And Lord, I pray for Becky. She didn't ask for one single thing herself, so I ask in a special way you hear her prayers. And I give to you everyone on hold. I give to you everyone united with me now, wherever they may be. And in one united voice, we beg for your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for
us. Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Sorrowful.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Saint George.
Pray for us.
Maggie, your patron saint of the bears?
Saint Corbinian.
Pray for us.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for praying with me. Can I ask you just do me a favor? Continue to pray outside of this time we get together, and let's pray for each other. You know, when you spend time with the Lord in adoration, when you take your walk, when you pray your rosary, when you spend time with the Lord, remember your spiritual family here. There's so much prayer going back and forth between you and me and everyone else that's praying with us. It's kind of crazy. I know God hears these prayers. That's why we have so many answered prayers. If you ever come to Relevant, you go into our chapel, the proclamation, you'll see books in the back of it of these answered prayers. Names are taken out, but the miracles are a testament to God's mercy. All right, tell others. And have people join us every afternoon. Spread the news. You'll be blessed for spreading God's mercy. And I'll tell you what, things are going to change in the life of those who are praying. I have to take a short pause. I'll be here with you for about another hour and a half. I hope you can hang out with me. I'll be right back.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You can support Relevant Radio in many ways. Joining a giving society, donating a vehicle you don't need anymore, and now donating a piece of land or other real estate. Donate now at relevantradio.com/property.
Large cities all across America are inundated with an influx of migrants in search of food, shelter, healthcare, education, and the cities are really struggling to keep up.
There is over 1,000 migrants rushing to the United States port of entry in El Paso, Texas. I'm told these are largely from Venezuela. The migrants, Venezuelan migrants, pushing against the fenced border. Both the U.S. Border Protection and the Mexican military had to work to contain the situation on both sides.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, chaos on our southern border. It continues. Good afternoon. I'm Drew Mariani. Thanks for joining me. Yeah, I don't know how it's impacting you. If you're feeling the impact of it directly or maybe indirectly. Well, the chaos, it's not just a southern problem. It affects the entire country. It's reaching into the northern part of this great country of ours. Just last week, in the heart of the country, in Chicago, the city council there, and Chicago's already pretty heavily taxed, they approved spending $70 million more on taking care of migrants who have either made their way there or more likely been bused there from Texas since the city proclaimed itself a sanctuary city. And I'll tell you what, the citizens of Chicago, seen some of the footage, they are not happy. They are not happy because a lot of that money is being taken away from programs that were meant to either help them or the most vulnerable in their communities. And many of the migrants are being taken care of prior to the citizens there. And we know that the coffers are being tapped, and you know, there's even a call to oust the mayor of Chicago. So some Democrats aren't happy with the spending either, you know, saying that the funding for the city residents isn't getting through to the ones who need it. It's Hot Air. Ed Morrissey writes for hotair.com. That's a great little website if you haven't checked it out. There was a Hot Air did this piece, and they talked about this alderman who objected to the additional spending, pointing out that, you know, the Windy City doesn't have enough money right now to fund after school programs or counselors that are supposed to be, you know, helping keep, you know, Chicago kids off the streets and out of gangs. And this money's all being spent. So a lot of requests for local funding for projects are being denied. And people are upset. That's just one city. That's just one city. Last month, the Daily Mail was reporting that Venezuela was about ready to release a whole bunch of prisoners, including people who've committed murder, with at least, you know, one immigration attorney saying that they were going to make their way to our southern border. And the prisons in Venezuela, yeah, the door's been thrown open, believe it or not. It's already well known how porous our southern border is. And there are networks of people who do anything for money, including, they don't care. don't care what your background is. If you're a murderer from Venezuela, you pay them the amount of money, they'll get you across the border. Other criminals are coming across our border. And don't forget some of the nations that I would argue we're almost at war at. You take a look at China. Take a look at the poisoning of America. How much fentanyl is coming across our border? Take a look what the cartels are doing. Take a look at the amount of Chinese migrants that are coming through. And look at the people that have gotten away, let alone the people on terrorist watch lists. I mean, if you're at war and you've got cells in this country, it could be a pretty effective tactic. Unfortunately, the current administration is not interested in keeping criminals on the other side of the border. And even when they catch people on the terror watch list or they know that people got away, there's not a whole lot being done. And this is not just a monetary thing. And you can argue that, but with an executive order, President Biden can do a lot to shut the funnel on this hose. And, you know, don't forget, you know, in fact, a friend of mine, Dr. Jeff Gardner, is going to be joining me in just a second. He wrote in a piece that there's an old Middle Eastern saying. And the saying is, we're putting scorpions in our pocket. So what does that mean? Dr. Gardner joins me today. It's good to have him here with us. You can reach him at jeffgardner.online. Teaches a course in media, culture, and government at Regent University. And Doc, I saw the piece. You and I have a mutual friend in Tom. And he was explaining to me what that statement was all about. Share with everyone what it means, that we're putting scorpions in our pocket.
Yeah. And by the way, nice to talk to you again, Drew. You know, essentially the proverb means that there are some creatures like scorpions that simply do what they do. That is, a scorpion stings and that's what a scorpion does. And those who are inclined to behave criminally tend to do what they do. And so if you let them into your country or your state or your neighborhood en masse, you shouldn't be surprised when, you know, we have immigrants, criminal elements, not just immigrants. We don't want to paint with an unjust brush. We can get into that. Right. But assaulting police officers and murdering nursing students or shooting people in the streets. You know, what many, many Americans do not understand is that globally, there is an economic downturn. It's not just affecting the United States. And those countries that are less able than even we are to deal with criminal elements and the rise in poor and sometimes bad behavior that come with economic downturns, their solution in many instances are to eject their people and send them away. Like the case of Argentina, or we've seen similar trends through El Salvador and Central American countries. And so when you have an open and porous border, it's as straightforward as 1 + 1 = 2, that among those that come across will be those whose means of making a living is criminal behavior. And that's what they do, and that's what they do when they get here. So what is in, you know, it's just a matter of, I didn't say everyone's best interest. It's a matter of common sense to screen who it is that's going to enter into your country before they get here. And, it's a very straightforward and apt metaphor, I think, that we ought to pay attention to.
So just to give people perspective on all this, what are the networks that are operating that these migrants as well as these criminals tap into?
Yeah. And I think this is another area. I think part of the problem is that it's twofold in sort of the broad strokes. One is a tremendous lack of information on the part of the American people. And the other one is a extent of organization amongst criminal gangs. Most Americans are not aware, because poverty does not equal stupidity. Most Americans are not aware how connected and sophisticated many of the drug smuggling operations, human trafficking operations, and criminal gangs that traffic in everything from stolen property to, you know, illegal activity like gambling, how well connected and well organized they are. One of the byproducts, and this is something I teach at Regent University in courses on media effects. One of the byproducts of the leveling out of access to communication technologies is that everyone has picked them up. So there are communication networks that are as easy to tap into as putting an app on your phone. There are apps like WhatsApp and Telegram. They are completely encrypted. That is, so there is no way to crack into them and find out who's saying what to whom and when. And they're used extensively. I've seen them with my own eyes. They are used extensively by criminal gangs to coordinate their activities, both to get into the United States and when they get into the United States. And they are as connected with each other as we are with one another over, SMS, that is texting, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. If we're connected, they are just as connected. But they're not sending happy birthday wishes and, look at the picture from Jimmy's baptism.
That's hilarious.
Their communications tend to be of a much more nefarious nature.
So the president of El Salvador gave a speech back in February about these criminals who are crossing our border. I know you are familiar with that. What were his observations? Share that with everyone.
Yeah. So, he said, look, and this was at the CPAC convention, and he said, look, what you're not aware of, and he's speaking to the people in the United States, he said, really, there are three salient points that you must come to grips with. Number one is your lack of knowledge, of information about how well organized and determined these criminal gangs are. Number two, that they are, crime is as crime does. They're often connected with much deeper and darker forces, including satanic worship, sangria, things from influence from West Africa and into the Caribbean, voodoo. He said, number three, they already have a foothold in your country. I'm not speaking to you, he said, about a threat that's coming. I'm speaking to you about a threat that's here. And back to point number one, your lack of information. Most of us, and this is a very salient point, a function of the human brain. We tend to see and think in terms of linear change, a sort of a gradual sloping up. What we do not see and we have a hard time thinking about is exponential change. And so, for instance, there's an old story about the explorer Marco Polo. Whether it's true or not is beside the point. And he brings the game of chess to the emperor of China. And the emperor is so thrilled with this game. So you can have anything you want. What would you like?
Wow.
And Marco Polo says, you know what? I don't want much at all. I simply would like one grain of rice to be placed on the first checkerboard of this chess table. And then that number doubled with each successive square. And the emperor said, oh, okay, sure, I can do that. But what he didn't realize is when you have exponential increase, that is when you double the number, by the time you reach 3/4 of the way to a standard chessboard, now you have enough rice to cover the entire kingdom of China. So exponential change occurs very rapidly and increases at a rate that stretches our imagination, our ability to comprehend. And that is true with social change. This is another area that I teach in media effects. And one of the things that we have a very hard time with intellectually, conceptually, is something that's called a tipping point. We tend to think of change as sort of gradual, and continues either up or down. That doesn't seem to be the case with social change. It operates more on a principle that's called punctuated equilibrium. Think of a building that's leaning, and it will lean and lean and lean until it reaches a point in which the forces pulling down on it exceed the forces keeping it upright, and then it collapses. It doesn't collapse in a slow, gradual, declining manner as it did when it was leaning. It collapses very suddenly with a catastrophic bang. That's punctuated equilibrium, and that's what he's saying by way of rampant problems that come with the infiltration of these organizations and the elements that they bring.
Wow. My guest today, Dr. Jeff Gardner. I had to take a short pause here. When we come back, we will talk a little bit more. If you want to get in, I only have maybe another 10 minutes at the most. The number to dial, 888 888- 914-9149. It's always good to hear from you. 888-914-9149. Hang out with us. Our conversation will continue in just a minute.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Connect with Drew on the Relevant Radio app.
With flexible premium life insurance by sponsor Catholic Order of Foresters, a 40-year-old can get $1 million coverage for under $19 monthly. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester. That's relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Turn it up! The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. You don't even know.
Makes you want to clap, doesn't it? Good afternoon. It's good to be back here with you today. If you're just joining me, I'm speaking to a longtime friend, professor, Dr. Jeff Gardner is with us. He's a prolific writer and a man with great insights. And we were talking about a stark warning that has been given by the president of El Salvador. He gave a very compelling address, and he laid bare really the chilling realities that go unnoticed by a lot of people. He dealt into these grave issues of criminal infiltration into our country, the dark undercurrents even of Satanism with a lot of these drug cartels that are now seeping into the United States from the South. And he said that dark forces are already taking over your country. And it's not always apparent because as humans, our senses are fine-tuned to detect the linear, not the exponential changes as Dr. Gardner was just talking about. And, you know, believe it or not, you're going to be blindsided. We here in America are going to be blindsided by how quickly a problem can escalate. And you've seen it. And I step back and I think I've got a heart filled with compassion and mercy for the migrant, especially for the person who came through legal channels. But there's a lot of injustice going on to citizens of this country, to communities. I started this segment talking about what was going on in Chicago and how after school programs and other things are no longer being are available to the local citizenry. That's not just, but there's a lot of injustice also that takes place with the migrant. And Dr. Gardner, let's pick up on that point if we can, because, you know, as Catholics, as followers of Christ, you know, I'm well aware of the unseen dangers of an open border. But boy, there's a lot of injustice, both to the citizen of this nation as well as to that migrant. And I'll let you expand on that.
Yeah, and, you know, that's such an excellent point. And that is so important for us as Catholics to keep, you know, first and foremost. Yes, it's a natural tendency as human beings that we focus on things that threaten us. Advertisers and governments and political parties and politicians know this. So we should be aware of that tendency within ourselves so we're not yanked from one, you know, pole to another. But as Catholics, I mean, right at the heart of our teaching as Catholics, the principles concerning immigration, you know, the first one is that people have a right to sustain their lives and the lives of their family by moving around. But the second principle is also that a country has a right to regulate its borders and control its immigration. And that is a matter of justice on both sides of the coin or both sides of the border, if you like. It is unjust to allow criminal elements into a community. It really is not just to take something for nothing. And so if you're a migrant and you show up and you are not in a position to contribute to the economy, and I'm not talking about an emergency situation, but after that, that is unjust. But likewise, what most people don't know about immigration, most of the immigrants that come here to work. And they are shuffled through in large numbers by organizations, usually attached to the corporations, and a lot of it's in agriculture that they go to work for. And they're given a tax number that's registered with the IRS. And the moment that they go to work, and that is hard work working out in the fields in agriculture, 10, 12 hours a day, children as young as 12 and 14. The minute that they go to work, their wage is taxed. But because they're not in the pipeline as citizens, and even if they were, they weren't citizens yet, they are never going to see any of that money by way of Social Security. They're never going to see any of that money by way of Medicare. Those things that we pay into in this agreement with our government that we expect a return on when we reach the, you know, the appropriate time and place. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get any of that. And that's fundamentally unjust. It's unjust to do this to communities like, say, in Chicago, and it is unjust to do this to people in large numbers like is being done. So, you know, I've reached the position in which I am now in agreement with those who are calling for the border to be closed, not because I'm anti-immigrant or because I think that there's going to be this crashing wave and we'll all be drowned. No. Right now, what's going on is with the level of injustice on both sides of this, this has become a political football being used by parties on both sides of the divide to push programs and agendas. And no peoples, whether they're residents here in Chicago or people trying to, you know, seek out a better economic life, should be used as a political wedge. That is also unjust. So until we can sort this out, fix the system, figure out who is who and who is coming in, really, it's in everyone's best interest to have full stop, close the border, and let's get serious about an immigration policy and one that is just to all parties concerned.
Amen to that. Maggie and I were talking before you came on about a deacon that she's aware of. And Maggie, you should share that story with Dr. Gardner.
Yeah, I was saying this really hurts those who have come here legally and look at what other people are doing in flooding in this country. There's a deacon that I know who's being ordained as a priest this Pentecost. He's going to be a wonderful priest. His father is Mexican. And earlier this year, his father had been trying to apply for a visa to come stay in the States for a while to come to the ordination of his son to become a priest. And he was told, we can't even process this for another 800 days.
Wow. Right.
800 days. That's years.
Yes.
What? So it's like you can't even come to the country and spend time with your son who's going to become a priest. The whole thing is unjust.
Yeah, exactly. Precisely. And it's creating this tremendous backlog, which violates one of our fundamental principles that we hold for citizens and by way of conviction for everyone else. And that is that you have a right to be speedily processed through whatever process you're involved with. And 800 days is not a speedy process. So you're exactly right. That's an excellent example.
Yeah, no kidding. John's in Los Angeles. He's got a comment for you, I believe. Hi, John. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Gardner.
Yes. Thank you, Drew, very much for taking my call. And I appreciate Dr. Gardner's comments and insights. I wanted to emphasize a part of this problem that I don't hear discussed very often regarding the Medellin cartel, the narcotraficantes, and human trafficking. Mm-hmm. I just want to read you something, which are making enormous illegal, obviously criminal profits off of this. I just want to read you something that I'm sure you'll immediately recognize it. It's the 13th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. It states neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. These children, I don't know if you saw the movie, The Cry of Freedom, but children, women, they're being held as slaves. Yep. And the president of the United States, the members of the cabinet, the Congress, Republican or Democrat, all took oaths to uphold this Constitution. Yep. And I think this should be emphasized more. These people are being held and used as slaves and executed. Slaves in the South, actually, if you want to go back in history, had more rights than these poor people do. And the first people that should be deported are the members of the criminal class of the cartel that are here in the United States supporting this.
Yeah, MS-13 in the group. Hey, John, thank you. I only have about a minute left, so I'm going to give Dr. Gardner the final thought.
But you know, John, I want to thank you for that call and that comment, because that is such an excellent point. And our inability to sort this out and do exactly that is exacerbated, if not actually put in place, by a border without regulations. Because and I can tell you, having worked throughout many, many countries in the world in many crisis situations, most of the migrants, and this is well backed up by our current research, that come across have no documentation. So not knowing who is who and why is why and from where is where makes it impossible to figure out who's the good guy, who's the bad guy, who is behind these criminal gangs and who is not. We have to get that under control. That's an excellent point, John. Thank you very much.
Marie, who's a nurse in San Diego, doctor, was saying, I'm a nurse and I see people overusing our system all the time. They get free medical care and housing. And they're already seeing, they're seeing the impact of this on the hospital system, I'm sure. I think about people who are citizens that don't even have that benefit. So thank you for your writing. We'll continue to follow you. If people want to check you out, what's the best way to do that?
They can find me right at my website, jeffgardner.online. Love to hear from you.
Thanks, doctor. It is top of the hour. Stay with me. We're going to change gears in a serious way. Give you the latest report from the Pentagon regarding UFOs.